on their marbles and playthings, and at 4:30 there came a young lady. She looked like a pretty young creature. She sat on the grass. She pulled up her dress and she showed them her ruffles and laces and white fluffy duck. She said she was learning a new way to bring up her children so they would not spit. While the boys in the barnyard were shoveling refuse and litter from yesterday's hunt. While the girl in the meadow was rubbing her eyes at the fellow down by the dock. He looked like a man with a sizable home in the country with a big fence out front. If he asked her politely, she'd show him her little pet dog who was subject to fits. And maybe she'd let him grab hold of her small tender hands with a movement so quick. And then she'd bend over and suck on his candy so tasty made of butterscotch. And then he spread whipped cream all over her cookies that she had left out on her shelf. If you think this is dirty, you can go f*** yourself.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
You're listening to Books, Beer, and Bullshit. It's the only podcast that has swamp ass on the back of its knees. I am your host, Mr. Frank.
And I'm your other host, Mr. Jeff.
Mr. Jeff, it's time once again for Books, Beer, and Bullshit.
Yes, it is. Let's get on some fucking good books, some bad beer, and some smelly shit.
Oh, yeah. Always got to bring the shit.
Got to bring
the shit. Just remember, you brought it this time.
I am bringing the shit.
Okay, good. This show, we're not interviewing nobody.
No.
No authors.
It's just all us.
It's just me, you, and a book.
That's it.
A book, a beer, a little bit of bullshit.
That's it. All we got for you this episode.
It's like old school.
It is. I feel like we're back at episode one.
Do you feel like that? Well,
I do.
You know why? Episode one, we reviewed Brian Keene. You know who we're interviewing tonight?
Nobody.
You're right. Let's try that again. Do you know why it feels like episode one, Jeff?
Why is that, Frank?
Because back in episode one, we reviewed a Brian Keene book.
Oh, and we're reviewing a Brian Keene book again?
Yes, we are reviewing a Brian Keene book again this evening.
Wow, you know, why do I always sound like surprised? Like, we're reviewing a Brian Keene book as if I didn't read it to review it?
I was hoping that you did. All right, we're going to review what a lot of people would consider the holy of holies in the Brian King pantheon. Maybe not.
No, a lot of people really enjoyed this book. It was probably made his bones as an author.
Well, it was actually his debut novel.
Right.
It sort of became a pop culture hit, how shall we say?
Well, I've heard it referred to as the book that relaunched the zombie genre, although I don't know how true that is or not. But I've heard a lot of people refer to it that way.
It was sort of a trifecta type of thing. You had Keene's The Rising came out. You had that the video game.
Resident Evil.
Resident Evil came into popularity about the same time. And there was also...
some movie came out.
Yeah, that also bumped up. And like the trifecta of pop culture came. And you know, from the literary world, Brian Keene's The Rising brought renewed vigor into the zombie genre.
It is vigorous, too.
It is vigorous. Vigorously written, too. It was originally...
What's the VIG? 10%?
The VIG? Hey, in the end, everybody got to pay the VIG. Originally published...
How far back in the Wayback Machine must we go?
You want to go in the Wayback Machine tonight?
We're going to have to go in the Wayback Machine. Now, I would like to just explain to our constant listeners.
Well, what are we reading? Tell them what we're reading.
I thought we already introduced the book.
The Rising?
By Bruce Springsteen.
I'm on out for my poop stink, 'cause I'm squeezing it out tonight. Come on out for some X-Lax. Come on, my shit is like a brick.
All right, The Rising from Brian Keene, originally published by the Shitheads at Leisure.
Leisure?
In 2003.
2003, so that would be Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead remake was coming out.
Yeah, and Resident Evil. Resident Evil came out. probably this book, then probably Dawn of the Dead.
Right. So there it is. That's the trifecta. Now what's happened is leisure has since gone the way of the
leisure suit.
The leisure suit. They don't exist. Obviously, we've been over this. Brian Keene now with Deadite Press. The majority of his backlog is being republished on Deadite now. This is what we're covering tonight. The reissue of The Rising, author preferred edition.
Which was?
It's an additional 30,000 words, which is almost a novella unto itself, plopped back into the book.
Yeah, that's funny with this book.
Yeah.
I have a personal story. I found Brian Keene through the second book of the duology, City of the Dead. I found that on the stacks in Barnes & Noble. And I didn't know when I bought it, I didn't know it was part two.
You know? Yeah.
I read it and I really liked it. Then I got into Conquering Worms, which is now what? Earthworm Gods?
Earthworm Gods, yeah.
And, you know, the rest of his catalog. Yeah, I really, that's how I found him.
Right. Just, yeah, and you had actually given me your paperback of City of the Dead, and I knew at that point, by then, we had already discussed, like, fucking Keene, man.
Yeah, we were already up in,
and
you were already up in his shit.
Yeah, I held on to it, because I'm like, I kind of want to wait for The Rising to, you know, to read that, so now I got The Rising out, and, well, Skeeter.
There's a Skeeter on my Peter, whack it off.
Whack it off!
There's a Skeeter on my Peter, whack it off.
Whack it off.
There's a dozen on my cousin, you can hear the bastards buzzing. There's a Skeeter on my Peter, whack it off.
Whack it off. That has been a musical
interlude.
Yeah, so I have held on to it, still got it, but now I got The Rising out of the way.
So now you can hit it.
Now that we're talking about City of the Dead, that's going to be released very soon. Might be by the time this podcast is published that soon, in its own author preferred edition. With its own, like, additional 30,000 words or so.
Yeah, because, you know, could use another.
It's the way he it's the way he wanted it, originally published it, and his original publishers thought, you're new, nobody's going to want over 300 pages of a new guy.
Yeah.
And zombies, who gives a fuck about them at the time.
I don't get that. If it's a good book,
it's a good book, yeah. And, well, let's talk about that aspect first, reading The Rising. Did you find a spot where maybe there's 30,000 words missing, or did it seem seamless?
Being the 30,000 words were already in it, I would say it seemed pretty seamless.
It did nothing look like fluff.
No, the story flow.
Yeah, and it seemed like everything was important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how do you really get around that? I mean, basically, if you want to get rid of 30,000 words, you write out a character. You just, like, delete one character out of the whole story.
Yes.
And you pretty much take out 30,000 words.
He did say there are a lot of secondary, tertiary characters that
right, you could throw
axed.
In there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you don't develop a character as much, you kill him off
right.
quicker, whatever.
So there were probably, like, not huge chunks that were taken out.
It's probably like...
sections of chapters.
Yeah, it was probably chopped judiciously. Like, you know, like, not, oh, we're just going to, like, take this whole scene out. We're just going to, like, take this part of this character out here, this part of this character out here, and this part of this character out here.
Yeah.
It was probably something like that, because it doesn't seem like you could, like, chop 30,000 words out of it.
Yeah,
and
it
not
like
skip.
Fluff. Yeah, it didn't seem like there was a fluff piece where you're like, oh, this must have been part of it.
Right.
Because I was, you know, in the back of my mind.
It wasn't like a Stephen King Diarrhea of the Typewriter. Yeah, you know.
Stan, I guess, is another popular one. That took a big chop in its initial edit.
Yeah, and then, you know, they brought, he re-released that one, and that all that really did was add more character development.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that that's just what it was. It was just a tightening up of
The script. Really,
the script, yeah.
Really bare bones in it. I guess there's three sets of paired main characters, right? Is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah.
You had the scientist and his little retarded friend Worm.
Right.
And then you had the derelict chick.
Right.
Who was she paired up with?
Wasn't she paired up with the guy searcher for his son?
Yes. He was pretty much the main of the main characters.
Right.
And there was another set. Oh, the army guys.
Yeah.
It kind of followed along with them. And I guess the little people that come in and out along the way, they're probably the ones.
Yeah, it got written out of edited out of the original edition.
Yes. Well, now that we're starting to talk about plot, you want to go over the plot a little bit?
All right. In this book, the source of the zombie infection isn't a virus or anything like that. It's they had one of those very large particle colliders or atom smashers or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. What's the one in Europe? The CERN?
Yeah,
This was the Large Hadron Collider or something like
that.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and of course, you know, the first time they fire it up, they create a black hole and rips into another dimension. And that releases evil entities that take over your body once you die. So it's not like you get bit, you turn into a zombie.
Right.
You have to be dead in order to be turned into a zombie.
Yes.
And all these evil minions just want to come across the void and get into a dead body, so they go out and...
Yeah, once your soul has left your body...
They jump in and take over and, like, go kill other people, then more of their brothers come out, which was an interesting little twist. I mean, not... It was probably unique at the time.
Yeah.
And also, I liked the fact that they weren't just, like, mindless zombies. These zombies had, like... a point, and they were kind of like fast zombies, but they weren't really fast because their bodies were so beat up from getting killed.
Right. They're, I would say, calculating zombies.
Right. Thinking. They could use guns and cars.
Yeah. They could drive
and
cars.
Stuff, but they weren't good at it. They didn't know how to use
the limitations of a rotting corpse slows them down. But what they had on their side was they were able to tap into the memories
of
the brain
dead
of the dead people. So they knew. You know, if you knew that your dead grandmother was there, it is evil Sikwism. Is that basically what their creatures are called, Sikwism? Could tap into your grandmother's brain and then go, I used to make you cookies and you didn't like them. You're going to like them now, you fucker, and shit like that.
Right.
And they could taunt you. They're taunting zombies.
They're taunting.
I shall taunt you a second time.
And I like that. That was a nice plot twist. And I also like the fact that like in Resident Evil, with the birds get are zombies and the deer and all
nothing,
the animals.
Nothing is safe.
Right. It didn't matter. World. If it died, someone like wanted something to get in there and cause some chaos.
Yeah. It was even suggested like bugs and worms and shit were.
Yeah, zombified too.
Getting zombified. And that made a nothing is safe. You know, and usually in zombie worlds, you can walk into the woods and you got a better chance. You know, you're a little more hidden.
Nope.
A zombie squirrel fuck you up as much as a human squirrel. So that made kind of any movement around anywhere difficult. Yeah.
It was treacherous.
Getting into a car and running away was no good because the zombie could hop into a car also.
Yeah, and come chase you down.
And come chase you down. It was, he really like closed the door on any sense of security.
Yeah, it was, it's dark.
In the usual Keen way.
Yeah. If you're a fan of Keen, this will be right in. If you're a fan of Keen, you probably already read it. But if you like some dark, depressing horror, here you go.
Absolutely. Ruinous, dark.
You know, he does have the gift of describing the desolate. You get a feeling of the despair when you read a lot of his work.
Oh yeah. He can make you feel disappointed. Not in the book, not in the way the story ends, but just make you feel disappointed, like a real feeling of disappointment. Like, I don't know how to describe it. The ending of this book, maybe this isn't the greatest zombie book ever. It's certainly up there. But the ending of this book was so thrilling. So, like, I had to keep turning the page. It was amazing to get to that, like, one little end piece. And just wow. That's all I can say about the ending was, like, wow. He really fucking, if there was any doubt about this being a good book, was quashed. Squashed, in the end. I thought that was a great, great ending.
We won't reveal the secret ending to our friends.
We can't talk about that.
Oh, and the zombies also had a leader, the mastermind zombie.
Yeah.
What was his name? Orb or Ob? Ob?
Obi Ob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obi like the tampon, right?
Just like that.
All right.
No periods, though. Either way.
Either way.
Yeah. It wasn't like O period, B period. So,
it was a cool twist on the zombie apocalypse.
Great characters. You know what I think drove this? Is like I said, the guy, was it Danny, looking for his son? I mean, that's the brunt. That's how kind of everything gets set up around that.
Right.
Danny's basically, he's in Pennsylvania, or he's in Virginia, right? Isn't he starting in Virginia?
Something like that.
Or deep rural Pennsylvania. He gets a phone call, cell phone call. Shit's already hit the fan for the most part. Power's going out places. You know, everything's pretty much getting good and shit hit the fan. His son calls him on a cell phone and says, Daddy, come save me. Son lives in New Jersey with his estranged wife, and that's basically where he has to set out. Instead of hunkering down, he's going to set out and save his son. That's like the main drive of the whole story. And that really pulls at your emotions. That's the thing. That's the sail to get you to go through this whole book.
Yeah.
You know, and as dark and bleak as it is, you're following this guy through to see if he gets to his son. That's like the, for me, like that was a good pull through the book. Not just can these idiots get to safety? Can this guy get to the island? I thought that was a better sell on the thing.
Well, I want to know is how come he hasn't sued Bruce Springsteen?
That's an excellent question. I don't know. I don't know if Keane's a Springsteen's fan. I don't know.
Oh, every time I see his picture, he's wearing an Anthrax shirt.
Yeah, he's all metal for sure.
But
he throws some curveballs at you.
Yeah, so anyway.
It's a great book. I would put it on a must-read list of zombie books.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, especially it's a little different from your normal
zombie
book, which makes it more in-depth. So, yeah, you definitely have to read it. If you're a zombie fan and you're looking for something just a little different.
Fans of Keane know that he has a larger sort of, like Stephen King, a sort of larger scope of his world, so to speak, where he has these other dimension creatures.
Right.
Ob being one of them. If you go into Earthworm Gods, Behemoth is one of them. And a lot of his stories have these almost Lovecraftian sort of other dimensional monsters coming into our world. And Ob is definitely one of them. And this is the first book where he introduces concepts like that, and he introduces the Black Lodge. Secret ops, the idea of the Sikwism, that alien sort of being from another dimension. That's all. The seeds are planted here in this book. So, you know, a lot of his history starts right from the first book. All right. So, this was a sort of a retro read, in a way.
It definitely was.
The original 2003 version. So, just like we did on our last retro read, we're going to take a walk down memory lane, 2003 style.
Awesome.
Some of the finer points of 2003. Space Shuttle Columbia disintegrates during re-entry over Texas. 2003.
Oh, that was with, wasn't there an Israeli doctor, astronaut or something?
An Israeli.
An Indian lady.
An Indian. Some Americans.
Yeah.
That was it. 2003. Columbia blew up. 2003.
Yes.
The Station nightclub fire in Warwick, West Warwick, Rhode Island.
With Great White.
Great White Fire, 2003.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
That seems like it was just 20 years ago.
The World Health Organization issues its first global alert on SARS.
Oh, we're all safe. Only Japanese get that.
Apparently so. They're still walking around with the mask to this day.
Yeah.
The Human Genome Project is completed with 99% of human genome sequenced to 99.99% accuracy.
But it was only 99%. How could it be finished?
Well, that's as close as they were going to get, because if they got any closer, all the fucking Maury Povich shows would be useless.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Got to save the Maurys.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, you are the father. If they went to 100, then there's that no doubt left anymore. So.
Gotcha.
We're safe on the Maury. What were you doing in 2003?
Probably the same thing I'm doing today.
Podcasting?
Drinking beer.
You were definitely drinking beer in 2003.
It was a good year.
Yeah. The most tragic loss easily of 2003, Classy Freddie Blassie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Ayatollah Freddie Blassie.
I can still remember that as if it was yesterday.
When he was the Ayatollah Freddie Blassie?
Yes.
Or Classy Freddie Blassie.
Either way.
Dead. Dead in June 2003. Dead. I can't. I don't want to go on after that. As bleak as The Rising by Brian Keane. Available from Deadeye Press on most major retail outlets, websites. The Rising, author preferred edition. $7.95 ebook, $13.99 paperback. Should we tell him? Should we pull back the curtain?
Let's pull back the curtain.
Want to pull back the curtain a little bit? We'll see.
Let's cross the...
We contacted Deadeye Press.
Yes.
We have a pretty good rapport with Deadeye Press.
Yes, we do.
We asked him kindly if we could get Brian Keane on the podcast.
And surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Brian Keane, how are you doing tonight? See, we didn't get him.
No.
We're
not that cool yet.
In all fairness, Deadeye Press did try to... They reached out, asked Brian Keane if he would come on the show.
And he laughed.
I think he dropped them. He ripped up his contract. It was explained to us. They did pass along the information, but that he is very busy writing several things.
He can't take 5 minutes out of his busy day.
We're a little too silly for that. So.
Yeah.
But they did try, and maybe who knows in the future.
Yep.
Brian Keene Rising.
Bye-bye.
It's time for the beer.
The beer section, aye?
It's the beer time.
Beer time, Walt.
Go blimey,
Governor.
What a bit of bother.
This is a right bit of bother for sure.
What we got tonight, Governor?
On this episode,
yes,
we'll be sampling St. Peter's Dark Sorghum Beer, which is
Sorghum?
Sorghum.
It's made of sorghum?
It
See?
Is.
I can act surprised, too.
It is. You do. You are. It's gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
So all you colitics out there could drink this.
Good.
Contains no wheat or barley.
Thank God.
I was a little tired of seeing good, promising wheat and barley wasted.
Yes.
So this is bonus.
My cereal is safe once again.
And it's looks like a medicine bottle, Governor.
Yes, this is, instead of your round bottle, this is a little more like oval shaped, I guess.
Yes, it's an oval shaped.
You know what
bottle?
It looks like? Looks like it could be elixir.
It is an elixir. It definitely is going to be an elixir.
A little trolley coming to town. All right, let's check it out. I got just a cure for Asia.
So.
Dr. Sorghum's Forgum Corgum.
I guess.
Is there alcohol by volume?
I'm
milliliters
looking.
Per stenchiness? Price point?
What is the price point?
$3.99.
$3.99 for 1.9 fluid ounces. That's a lot.
Yes.
For a bottle, one bottle of beer.
Yeah.
And you bought this as a single. There's not a
It
a
is
six
not
pack.
A six pack. It is a standalone.
That is a product of the UK.
You know what that means.
I know what that means.
It's time to scream in
English. Cor blimey, that was a smashing maneuver. Good show, Chips.
I don't have an English accent. I'm from England. This is just how words sound when they're pronounced properly.
Cor blimey, that was a smashing maneuver. Good show, Chips.
I don't have an accent. I'm from England. That's just how words sound when they're pronounced properly.
Cor blimey, Governor. That was a smashing maneuver, what? Good show, Chips.
It's a little aggro. That's a bit aggro, yeah. Governor.
Governor.
Pip, pip, cheerio.
So.
How about a spot of tea?
Has a cool bottle cap.
Does it? It's a little like a
little crow-looking bird.
Uh-huh.
A little key.
Uh-huh.
And the square ovaly thing. A squirrel. So, are you ready?
I'm ready to open this bottle.
Well, that can only mean one thing.
It's time
to scream in beer wrench.
Drop Ford stainless steel.
Jack Ford stainless steel beauty. Is this the 5/8 configuration?
It is the 5/8 configuration. It also has 550 power cord on it. This is a little aside as Jeff's getting ready to open this bottle and we begin to play some pouring music. You and I just went camping recently.
Yes, we did.
And we brought the bottle wrench with us, and it was amazing what we did with this bottle wrench.
Dude, we were pounding 10 steaks.
I went fishing. I caught several striper bass out of the creek. It was a creek.
It was a creek.
Or was it a creek?
It's either one, bro.
Either one. We caught fish with it.
I actually used the reflection off the stainless to, like, light a fire.
Yes, we did that also. Fuck magnesium.
Yeah, who needs that? You know, we changed the lug nut on the box end wrench when you got a flat.
That's true. That's true. I used the power cord.
We towed my truck when it got stuck.
In the mud.
We just, you know, put the power cord on mine, and you know, we just put it on a bolt on your car.
Yeah,
you pulled me right out of the mud with this,
right out of there.
Drop Forge Beauty.
It's amazing what this thing does.
It is. It could do anything.
You know what else you could do with that?
What else can you do with it?
Save 15% if you wanted to.
How could this save me 15%, sir?
Well, you can save 15% on it.
I can.
Yes.
All How do I do that, Governor?
You go visit thebottlewrench.com. You visit thebottlewrench.com.us.co.us. And then you put in your promotional code. You put in BBBSHOW. Right?
Smashing good.
This was quite a maneuver.
It was quite a maneuver.
Let's see you maneuver that cat off the top of the bottle, Governor.
All right. Bloody.
Oh, shit.
Oh, this is an English bottle cap. They use a
527. We got 5/8, and this is metric.
Yes.
It's a little off.
Oh, I was just teasing, baby. That popped off just like every other cap before us.
Metric, imperial, it doesn't matter. We're going to nigglet those caps after right.
Dude, it did put quite the nigglet in it.
Yes. It's a new word. Remember sniglets?
Sniglets.
Constant listeners.
Yes.
On HBO. That's the new for what the bottle wrench puts the little dimple in the top of the cap. That's called a ninglet. If you have any other ideas of what a ninglet is, it's all wrong.
You're all wrong.
It's a dent in the
You're
top
all wrong, Governor.
The bottle. How's it smelling to you, sir?
Actually, don't smell too bad.
Okay.
It's not stinking up the
Does
joint.
Does it smell beery?
It reminds me of something that we drank once on this show.
Oh, boy.
But I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. Smoked porter?
I don't know. It doesn't smell bad, though. It's not a smell that makes you go like, holy crap. Let's pour it out and see what she looks like.
Okay. I can't wait to drink gluten-free.
Dark. It's darker. Huh? Doesn't seem much of a head out of the...
It's almost like you'd find on a soda. It looks like soda. It looks like a Coke.
I believe this is unfiltered. Uh-huh. I got a little bit of head on that.
There's
no residue at the bottom.
It's looking like
That's
soda in a cup, like a cola.
It's a nice looking bottle. It's a handsome bottle.
It is a handsome bottle. We should add it to our collection.
Oh, it'd definitely go in the collection.
Yeah.
Let's see how this sniffs up in
the
open.
Give it a signature sniff now that you've released the Kraken.
In the open. You know what it smells like now that it's out in the open air?
It smells like a public toilet.
It smells like that Egyptian beer with the Naja.
Tehenkat.
Tehenkat.
Yeah. It's a faint smell. It's not a beer smell.
No, it's a...
It's not even a wheat beer smell.
No, it's a...
Actually, as a matter of fact, the more I'm smelling it, the more I'm losing the scent.
Yeah, it is kind of blah, right? Once it aired out.
Not
like,
very effervescent either.
Are you ready?
As ready as I'm going to be.
You ready to go for the St. Peter's Dark Sorghum Beer? Gluten-free?
Absolutely.
Let's give it a rip.
Bottoms up, sir.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christmas. Wow.
What the fuck is that?
Wow.
That is bitter, and it keeps getting bitterer.
Yes, my taste buds are in revolt.
It's not letting up.
It's getting worse. It's not puke. You know what?
God, it's getting
it
worse.
Might be puke-inducing.
It's getting worse. The more.
I'm getting the twitches.
It does kind of make you twitch, doesn't it? It's kind of just like, it's very flat, too. It's just like.
I found it has bite.
It has bite, but like, there's no like.
This is.
Yeah, there's no like.
This is not. If you have colitis, collegiate, if you're collegiate.
I is a college student.
And what's the people with the gluten-free?
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah. If you're collegiate, you don't want to go with this. Sorghum beer.
No other taste other than bitter.
You know, I couldn't even get like a full mouthful because it hit my tongue and it was like, I got to ease back. I want to take a nice.
It tingles the tongue, I'll tell you that much.
My tongue
still
has
a good way.
Nice tongue still has a dance and it's a bitter dance.
It's sort of weird.
It's not, you don't usually get a tingle with bitter.
No.
That's kind of what's weird about it, I think.
It definitely, and it lingers. Like, it's still sitting going like, hi, I'm still like camped
out.
Hi, I'm Super.
It's not a gay flavor at all.
No.
It's pretty goddamn manly.
It's bitter.
It's like a big barrel-chested British bloke.
It's like that. What was that commercial for Keystone Light with the bitter beer face?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what you're down with. Yeah.
It's a manly fucking punch to your tongue. All right. I'm going to take a nice mouthful. All
right. Go for it.
I'm not going to wuss out. You're not coming with me?
You're dragging me along?
I have to. You have to.
For the sake of the show.
Okay.
For the really big show.
Give it a good.
All right, I'll give it a good chug a lug.
Yeah.
Yow. That's just shit.
It does not taste like beer.
I took three swallows and that's just shit. That's just flat ass bitter water.
My tongue is actually getting numb now.
Yeah, it's.
It's sort of harsh.
It's harsh in my buzz.
Yeah.
It's just flat. It's just bitter. It's like
I don't understand.
It has
why?
No.
I don't understand.
Can't you like toast that sorghum? I could see if that's all you have, and that's like it's big in Africa, where I guess you can't really grow wheat when it's your only option.
Yeah, still.
No,
like
I still
no
wouldn't drink that.
It still does not taste like beer. There's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a better way.
There was
that's just shit.
A plain sorghum alternative.
Yeah.
Took the dark, obviously, because that would be worse. You know,
yeah, I mean,
light's bad, dark is worse. But I can't even imagine that the plain sorghum beer is
any better. That's like licking a lemon ass.
Bad beer.
Bad, bad, bad.
Bad beer. St. Peter's Dark Sorghum Beer.
Don't drink it. It's a BBBS show.
That's BBBS bad.
It is BBBS shite.
We got to be done with that beer. You know why?
Why is that?
Because we drank it.
So you don't have to.
Shake it out.
Bullshitting time.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
What you got?
I think we should top off the bullshitting with a news announcement.
Alrighty. Seamus McCooley still hasn't.
No, an old friend of the show.
Old friend of the show.
Yeah, the Doom Doll.
The Doom Doll.
I got some Draven Starr news. I don't know what this is going to mean. There could be implications with this news.
Uh-oh.
There's a ring involved. The Doom Doll.
Yes.
Is engaged to be married to Ginger.
Wow.
Yeah. She's
what a lucky man he is.
I guess so. He gets to tag the hooch that's been tagged a million times.
Yes.
And he gets to tag it. He tried to do it a million on his own. Yeah, so very limited news, nothing special. She displayed a picture of it's like a black diamond on or something ring on her finger. And
that must be hard on the career.
And then, that's what I'm saying is like, what would the implications be of that? She does dance regularly.
She's on the stripping circuit?
She's on, in the Baltimore area.
Right.
So she does that. Porn seems to be like, you know, although she's back into it, how much of it she done doesn't seem that much. Even like photo shoot wise, doesn't appear to be all that much.
Thank God for the internet, because
yeah,
she'll be there for you forever.
She will.
God bless Ginger.
Do you, Ginger, take this ass
to stick your cock
to stick
in.
Your larpy wood cock in it? He's putting his cock away. Yes, I do. Just a tad bit of Draven Starr news.
Awesome.
You know, we can pull back the curtain even further, because I don't see this happening any further, longer.
All right.
We have been in contact with Draven Starr.
Yes.
We've made very serious
attempts to have her on.
We've been in touch with her. She's expressed the desire. I'd love to come on, guys. Sounds rad.
Yes.
Our first attempt was right before the Hurricane Sandy thing.
Right.
And then that shit hit the fan, and we kind of like fell out of contact with her after all the power and all that stuff, and it didn't happen. And then we reestablished contact. Still want to come on your show, absolutely, guys. But it was during a point where she was going to California and doing all these shoots and stuff, and
right.
Was a busy person. And
she was that was back in her lesbian days, right?
No, this was
right after.
Right after, yeah. It was there was that weird changeover that happened where it was like all of a sudden I'm dating a guy, not a girl. And she was real busy, even though she expressed she wanted to come on the show. And you know, I'm gonna sit there like some kind of creepy fucking stalker.
Yeah.
You know, it's out there. So, and who knows now? So, I haven't really tried to reestablish that contact again. So, I don't know. We try to get her on the show. She wanted to do it. I can legitimately say she wanted to come on the show.
Right.
She was tickled pink that we talked about her, but who knows? Maybe one day, but it's just not happening.
Maybe we could interview her on, like, her wedding day. That would be pretty cool.
That would be awesome. We could cover it.
Bigger than
the princess.
Think we
could
get a press pass, like a press credential to that wedding? Me, that you, Ron, Jeremy hanging out.
Uh-huh. She's got to be doing it like Vegas style.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, I don't see it doing any other way.
I don't see the whole going to church thing going on.
No. Also, in bullshitting, we have a problem once again.
Uh-oh.
Our Yahoo Answers segment, we're our own worst enemies. Once again, what do we ask? Roughly, isn't all sex just masturbation?
Right.
With another person's body part?
Yeah.
And then I went to check on that a few days later, see how the answers are coming in. And once again, that question was gone.
Damn you, censors.
Somebody hit the flag on it, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody called it out. I was like, damn, what are we going to do now? So I put the call out for another Q&A of our own.
Okay.
Answer some Q&As.
We have some Qs?
We have some
for
Qs and A's.
A?
I didn't put out the APB all over the place, just on our own page. Keep the locals.
Right.
And we actually got, I had to do a little bit of begging, but we got some questions.
All right.
Okay, so here it is. Let's see who we got first here. Our new pal, Danger Slater, was the first one to leave us some questions.
Okay.
I've got a question. Frank and Jeff, if the two of you switched bodies with each other, a la Freaky Friday, what's the first thing you would do with your new body?
Dude, I would go admire my 10-inch dick in the mirror.
No. Instead of you and I switch bodies.
Right.
You might be sorely upset about that. You might feel
the first thing I would do,
yeah,
probably run up all your credit cards.
Uh-huh.
Just to be honest with you.
Okay.
I just get them. I would just
run them out.
Yeah, I would just run them all up.
And, okay. I guess you're assuming then that you're going to go back to your own body. And
yeah.
You don't have to deal with
it. No. In all honestly.
Yeah.
The first thing I would do would get a wooden penis tattooed on my forehead.
Uh-huh.
And then have sport and a Woody written underneath it.
Uh-huh.
That would be the first thing.
Okay.
Just to leave you something to remember
that
by. Yeah.
Damn, that's a good one. That's a good one. I don't even know. What would I do? I don't want to out your profession, but there's some stuff to do there. You must have toys that I want to play with. You have a lot of toys.
Yes.
Not so much now. You still have your old toys.
I still have toys from my days of toy buying.
Yeah. Like a kayak.
Yeah. You want to take my guns out for a little session?
Take the guns out. Just kind of sit up on the roof.
Start shooting the neighbors.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll take your kayak up on the roof. I'll sit in the kayak and start shooting your guns off. cause a little incident.
That would be pretty good.
Just playing with Jeff's toys. Because I'm Jeff.
You're Jeff's toys. And so I'm playing with them.
Uh-huh. Hear that? Maybe like you have the Jeep and then I could like tow the Jeep. I'll get a little monkey to drive the Jeep and I'll be in the kayak. Have the Jeep just go down the main road
and I'll shoot
guns off while riding down the street in a kayak being towed by a Jeep.
That's all right.
Something to that effect, you know?
I'll get out of jail eventually. You'll still have a wooden statue.
Yeah, I would have a lot of fun with your toys.
Yes.
That would be what I would do.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, right?
Yes. Yeah, so if I was to come into myself and not have to deal with ramifications of being me, I would do that.
You'd go play with your toys.
I'd go play with my toys.
You got a lot of fishing rods, too. I can do street fishing.
You can. Big treble hook.
Unconventional.
Snagging.
I would play unconventionally with your toys.
Yes. That's a good one.
He did have a follow-up.
Right.
I don't know how this is follow-up. Follow-up question. How the hell do you think Edward Scissorhands jerks off?
Very carefully.
I would maintain that he doesn't. He seemed like too much of a prissy boy.
I think if you dropped the pants,
it
would be just like the Marilyn Manson nothing. Mechanical animals, just nothing there, because he is just like a doll.
You know, it could be that is the true source of his misery.
No balls.
Yeah. It's not that he can't hold his Winona Ryder. It's that fucking, I can't jerk off, dude.
Yeah, I'm just.
I got to pleasure myself to this bitch.
Yes. I think that he has no penis.
Yeah.
He was built with no penis.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, he was a cutting guy, not a sex toy, even though he had all the bondage gear.
Right.
Yeah, I would say he doesn't.
Okay. Just doesn't do it.
Just doesn't do it because he's got nothing to jerk off.
Fair enough. Danger Slater, thank you very much for your fucking questions. Then when I begged for further questions, we got a little bit more. Here's one that's more on point with the books.
Oh, okay.
It's from our friend over at The Booked Podcast, Livia Zneddon.
Okay.
He simply wants to know, are you guys excited about Dr. Sleep?
Yeah, you know what? I could get down with Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
That will actually bring me back to go read the Stephen King novel.
Uh-huh. That's what you'd be into that one.
Yeah,
huh?
I'm gonna say yes. I am excited.
Yeah. Which did you like better? Did you like Carrie or The Shining better?
Shining
better.
Yeah.
See, I lean more towards Carrie.
That's all right.
Like The Shining. Like Carrie a little better. I would have been a little more excited for a Carrie follow. I don't know how you follow Carrie, but yeah, I'm still gonna wind up reading Dr. Sleep.
Yeah. It's gonna be
It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I tell you what I'm not going to do, though.
Yeah.
Is I'm not going to buy it at $24.95 for the ebook.
Hells no. Under $10.
Yeah, I'm not paying the $9.99 paperback price.
There's no way. But, you know, I think this can work because I don't know how much of his more recent work you've read, but I find him sort of tapping into that thing he used to have in his earlier days.
Right. He's got the thing back.
He seems to have that. You know, it's not there, but stuff like Under the Dome. When I read Under the Dome, it really had that early King.
Yeah, that was a pretty good read.
Yeah.
Seen the movie about 800 times.
Yeah, even though the movie doesn't have much to do with the book.
No, but still a damn good movie.
Yeah,
if you could,
you have to separate.
Separate the two.
Yes. Yes.
How could you go wrong?
I know. It took me a while to get there with that movie,
but loved the book. Loved the shit out of the book. So.
Yeah, that's just a classic modern American novel.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, I am excited for
Dr. Sleep. Good question.
Are you excited for Dr. Sleep?
Maybe not, like I said, maybe not nearly as excited as you are, but it's piqued my interest, especially, you know, like a follow-up to a book, a part two, so far after the fact. Be interesting to see where he goes with that. Okay, next question. This is weird. It's from Douglas Hackle, the Brony.
Right.
I don't know if we got hackled or if he was really asking this.
Well, I'm going to answer it as if he was really asking.
Okay. So he said, you know, ask
I
us
take
any-
all our questions, all our cues like an egg.
You have to answer. Right.
Got
to
answer.
Okay, so here's the question. We're not too proud to beg. Ask us anything.
Right.
Douglas Hackle asks, anything? Question, question. Now, this is the brilliance of Douglas Hackle. It's the brilliance of the man. Is he really asking anything? Does he really want to know if he could test our limits?
Right. I have
or is he trying to dupe us? And that's the question.
I have the answer.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Only on odd days of the month after you've jerked off three times and never, ever in a leap year.
Okay. Outside of that, you can't ask us anything?
No, that's the answer.
He's really curious because there were two question marks.
Yeah, that's the answer. Anything? Okay. Yeah, anything.
Okay.
You're going to ask me anything? I'll answer anything.
I initially put up the response, like, no holds barred. Like, I thought he was really, and then I'm like, damn it, this is Douglas Hackle, and that might have been his question. It's like, well, shit.
Glad I just answered it.
But he was good enough, whether he hackled us or not, he was good enough to follow up with a more legit question. After he was assured still that there are no holds barred here at Books, Brew, and Bullshit, he went and further asked, if you took all the live human penises in existence today, in parentheses, based on the current population of human males on the planet and the average erect penis size, and strung them all together to form one gigantic boner, approximately how long would that boner be? In both miles and kilometers. Jeffrey will now utilize his calculator. I have another answer. This does not require a calculator. I think this is a trick question. Do you know approximately how many live human penises are in existence today?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay.
Approximately 6.9 billion.
6.9 billion live human penises.
Yes.
At the average erection size of
the majority fall between 5.5 and 7 inches. So the average would be
6 1/4.
Six. Let's just round it to six.
Okay.
Let's just say six.
So 6.9 billion times 6 inches. Mr. Hackle, Jeffrey is working feverishly like an accountant to come up with the proper answer for you, sir.
That'd be 41.4 billion inches.
41. How many zeros is that?
41 followed by 9 zeros. Douglas, Mr. Hackle, if you lined up all the penises, averaging them out in erect form, they would form a stack from the Earth to the Moon, from the Moon back to the Earth, and then another 3/4 of the way back to the Moon.
2 3/4 trips?
2 3/4 trip to the Moon.
And back.
And back. No, just to the Moon. 2 3/4 trips to the Moon.
Yes.
Once they're in back and then 3/4 of the way there.
That's a lot of dick. Does he have a fascination with it?
I don't know. He's asking all these penis questions.
It was only one.
That's a lot of penis questions.
That's a lot of work. You just did a lot of math on a penis question.
Yes, but math
Are you gay?
You want to know that in kilometers? If you really want to know, it's 238,857 miles of dick.
Yeah.
Or 384,403 kilometers of penis.
Uh-huh. Erect.
Erect.
Average.
Averaged out.
Average erect penis. It's
using the
penis.
Average of 6 inches.
Yeah.
On 41.4
billion. 6.9 billion penises.
Which equals out to 41.4 billion inches of erect penis on this planet at any given time.
All right. I have a different answer to this. His question is, let me rephrase it again. If you took all the live human penises in existence today, based on the current population of human males on the planet, blah, 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 how long would that boner be? That boner would be zero. It would be non-existent. You know why?
Because there's no blood once you cut them off.
Once you cut them off, they're dead penises.
They're all shriveled up prunes.
Uh-huh. Zero. They're dead penises.
So we did the math.
You did the math.
So you don't have to.
Okay, there's a follow-up to that question. Not from Hackle, but from the mayor.
The mayor?
Mayor wants to know. And then tell us how many of those you put in your mouths.
Well, none of them.
Alive or dead?
Alive or dead.
Okay. So that's our Q&A.
That was great.
All right, now, despite having our initial question shot down, I did some rewording. So far it stayed up. But I was sort of inspired to reword. I kind of let it go at first, like, oh, fuck, I'm shot down again.
Right.
But then I went picking through Yahoo Answers just to see. I'm like, you know what? There must be masturbation questions that get through, right? So yeah. I went to Yahoo Answers. Search masturbation. You got to listen to this fucking thing I found that just stays up there. Question. Masturbation and cross-eyed? Mature audiences only. Jason asks, I'm 14 and haven't messed. It's gonna be hard to keep a straight face on this. It's brilliant, but I'm upset that it's still there.
All right.
Jason asks, I'm 14 and I've been masturbating for about 2 years now, and my vision has seemed to go bad.
Congratulations.
I believe my left eye is now crossed. A while back, I sometimes masturbated up to 15 times a day. One day, I was masturbating, and as I reached my peak, my vision went blurry for a minute, and then went back, but not all the way. I was, at the time, using an iPod Touch because... this fucking kid. I was using an iPod Touch because I didn't have my own computer. But ever since that one time, my vision has not been that good. Are my eyes crossed from this, and can I fix them? Please help.
Oh, yeah.
This stays up.
Right.
This stays up.
that's perfectly acceptable.
I can't ask if masturbation is you know.
Everything is just masturbation.
Like, am I just jerking off with a vagina? It's proper terminology. This kid's telling me he's going cross-eyed from jerking off 15 times a day. Oh, and by the way, I was using an iPod. That's nothing to do with anything, but that's what I was using.
Well, because he had an iPod.
There were answers to this question.
It was a touch. It was an iPod touch myself.
I wonder. All right, so some of the answers are, holy mother of bleep bleep, see a doctor and don't jack off for a year. Another answer is, masturbating alone has no impact on your eyes. If it did, 98% of men would have had bad eyes. If you're having eye problems, it isn't anything to do with masturbating. Go to an optometrist and get your eyes checked.
An ophthalmologist?
Optometrist.
It's an ophthalmologist.
Well, he's just suggesting the lesser form of the eye doctor, the guy who puts frames on your face.
Isn't he an ophthalmologist?
Ophthalmologist is an actual eye doctor.
Right.
An optometrist is the guy who puts eyeglasses on your face.
Right, but you don't need eyeglasses if you're cross-eyed. You need
an ophthalmologist.
Right, because your eyes are fucked.
This kid needs to get smacked in the head for asking such a dumb question. Masturbation will not affect your eyes one way or the other. Depending on what you see through it, might stimulate your urge to masturbate. Eye strain and high blood pressure might affect your vision, but that is unrelated to your sexual activity. It would be best to go to an optometrist and have your eyes checked. These people know nothing.
Ophthalmologist, biatches.
And there seems to be one vote so far, and it's for this answer. Doctor.
Dr. J?
That's just doctor. Yet another person, a top contributor. You need to see an optician, ophthalmologist, and your doctor, and a proctologist. I answered, I masturbated a lot and my shoes fell off.
Did you need a podiatrist?
Oh, God. My source? Heaps and heaps of chafing the rooster.
You better say it again, because I could barely understand it.
I'll try to get this out again. I masturbated a lot and my shoes fell off. Oh, God. And my source, heaps and heaps of chafing the rooster. No votes yet.
No votes for that one?
So anyway, that question itself inspired me to say, what the fuck? So what I had to do is I had to go and I had to reword in such a way as to just make it seem more grown up than that silly question. At what point exactly, parenthesize, please use proper terminology, does masturbation become fornication? Follow-up question was, what separates the act of masturbation from the act of fornication? Please, serious answers only, no childishness.
No tomfoolery or shenanigans. No,
I will not hear of cross-eyed masturbators. None of it. Answer number one from Thomas M. I would think that when a male penis enters a female vagina, that would be considered fornication. Paul said, when another person becomes involved and there's touching. Bender.
I'm a key toucher.
Bender X. He says, masturbation is a solo adventure. Fornication takes at least two people. He doesn't get it.
No.
Connor. Says, masturbation is a natural urge. It's okay to do unless you believe in religion. It's not fornication. Once again, he doesn't get it either.
Off topic.
Last answer. David, when the male enters the female. They're uninspired. I don't want to vote for any of them.
No.
I can give thumbs down.
I would give thumbs down.
All of them. You know what I want to do was report abuse on all of them. Body mouth. Okay. Yeah. Let me see what other question I answered. What is the average 13-year-old penis size? Listen, I know this is a weird question, but I was wondering, what's the average 13-year-old penis size? I have a 4.5 to 5.5 inch soft In parentheses, flaccid.
Flaccid.
See that? He was not childish.
No.
He did not go with the tomfoolery.
No, he didn't put in, like, I'm from Lake Flaccid. From Lake Flaccid, New York.
And then he goes, and a 6.0 inch hard. But he did not put erect in parentheses after that. Please be honest. The best answer was not mine. It was by Borbor, who said 13 is an age where guys' bodies can still be like little boys. Or as tall as a man and with a man-sized genitals. You are average for an adult, and there are plenty of other 13-year-olds who are also. I got a thumbs down on my answer. You ready for my answer?
Yes.
Form a gun with your index finger and thumb. Now, measure the distance between the tip of your finger to the tip of your thumb. That should be the length of your penis at your current age. If it is long... If it is longer, if it is longer, you may have cancer. A source, years of hanging out on the playground. I got a thumbs down.
Dude, when you make the gun, yeah. You have to go all the way back as far as you can go, or just like normal, like or like that kind of
well,
gun.
You know, it depends how big you want to be.
Well, no. I don't know.
And when you go bang, yeah. That's limp.
Yeah. When the hammer falls.
Yeah. That's how you know the growers, not showers, they got that really long thumb. They fold it over and it's like half as long.
No, I'm just going to go through the health section
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say you have adrenal cancer. But no matter what it is.
That's a good way to do it.
I have migraines. Huh? Adrenal gland cancer.
You may want to massage your adrenal gland.
Yes. Okay. Here is my question.
Shoot.
What is it called when you? And then like dot, dot, dot.
Right. Good, good, good.
So.
You lead them in.
Lead them in.
Yeah.
That way it don't get caught right off the beginning.
Sure.
When you stick your finger in your anus, then lick it and find it highly stimulating.
Wow. That's a good question. I don't know what the answer to that is. Do you know what the answer is?
I don't know.
It's a sniglet?
It's a sniglet. We'll find out. Society and culture etiquette.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So there we have it. Constant listeners on the next episode.
Of Books, Beer, and Bullshit.
Books, Beer, and Bullshit. Heart.
We got anything else going on?
We're going to have Kevin Strange on. Talk about the fall lineup of Strange House Books.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I always like to talk to Kevin Strange.
Absolutely. And we also got, I think we've been remiss in not reviewing a Rath James White book.
Do we have any of them in the Books, Beer, and Bullshit library?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
So those things are coming up in the future. Fall beers are in season.
Next episode, we'll have to pull out the...
we're going
to
go the Oktoberfest challenge.
Oktoberfest versus Oktoberfest.
Fresh versus year old.
12 versus 13.
Uh-huh. I like it. So there's a lot to look forward to.
We're getting into that. Yahoo Answers. Me saying everything you say.
Yeah, everything I say that you say. And maybe we'll talk about the touching with the kids and the dumpings. Because
the dumpings.
I haven't been on the show in a while, and I have to open up some new boxes with my thumbs.
Got to open up some cue cases. We'll talk about cue cases.
The cue cases. The last time I was on the show, I opened the cue case, and now there's a new cue case. It does not seem that long ago.
No, it does not seem that long
I couldn't ago. Believe it. This was a year. But you two fucks, you only do like 3 podcasts a year, so maybe I believe that, you stupids. I put your podcast in the dumpings at the Walmarts.
At the Walmart.
I put them, user request, I put your episodes on the track, and I race them. The Armand Rosamilia one is the fast. He's the winner of the track. Okay. It's very nice.
Did Armand Rosamilia stick the truck up his butthole?
No. Where'd that come from?
You said he won the truck in the dumping.
I got nothing left. You got nothing left?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good for this episode. Punch it. Come on out for some X, Lex.